Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you, and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it, because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. It is that time of year. The cold, dreary days of winter are approaching, and we know many of you are preparing to hunker down, but hear us out real quick. We want to give you some ideas, some inspiration to get you outside. Yes, even when it's chilly. Joining us today is Miles Howard. He is a freelance writer for the Boston Globe and National Geographic. He's written multiple guidebooks on New England hiking, and he writes the weekly Substack newsletter called Mind the Moss. And he's also the founder of the Walking City Trail, a 25-mile hike through Boston's parks and forests. Miles, you sound very, very busy, so thank you so much for being here with us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I mean, this is actually great timing because winter tends to be something of a graveyard for travel writing, because there's this idea in New England that once the snow and ice begin socking us, we just retreat indoors into a pile of fleece blankets for 3 months and emerge sometime when the buds are appearing on trees. And I'm trying to push back against that with a lot of the writing that I do about hiking in general, because I think there's a lot of weird fun to be had in the winter landscape here.
Well, you know what? I wanted to know why we need to get outside. You know, it's getting cold. It's getting dark early. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be inside with a beverage. You know what I mean? Why do I need to go outside?
Well, I think you sort of have to look back into the history of New England. I mean, we're an area that was colonized by Puritans. There's almost a Calvinist kind of route to New England living, wherein, you know, some of the pleasures of New England life, like sitting inside with a hot beverage, can be all the more sweeter if you've had a little bit of exposure to the harsher elements of New England life, too. And, you know, one reason that I really try to lean into hiking and outdoor activities during the winter here is because it does kind of imbue those rewards, like that big bowl of soup, or that, you know, fleece onesie that's waiting for you inside with just a little bit more zest in the end. But, you know, there's a more important reason to get outside often in the winter, too, which is that being outdoors can be a real tonic for our minds during a time when anxieties may be high due to the disruptions that are continuing with pandemic winter number three. You know, winter can be a time when a lot of us start feeling kind of down. You know, seasonal depression is something that I have experienced in, you know, doses here and there.
Usually I look forward to this time of year, but I think it's hit me this season, the winter depression.
Indeed. I've been feeling it, too. The earlier nights have really been hitting me hard these last few weeks. So I think that, you know, in some ways, getting outside in the winter is partially a way of tricking our minds into seeing these shorter, fleeting days that are darker and colder as an opportunity for going out and finding something interesting.
Tell me why that's special for the Boston region in particular.
Yeah, so the Boston region is really unique in the sense that we have an ecosphere here that consists of dense, really historic city infrastructure, but also a surprising diversity of wild spaces, too. We have salt marshes, we have old forests with these winding paths that just seem to go on and on. We have literal ruins of indigenous and colonial history right out in the suburbs surrounding the area right here. And best of all, a lot of this stuff is within easy reach of public transportation. You can very easily jump on a train or bus and get to a trailhead in this area. And, you know, I've done a lot of reporting in other parts of the U.S., and that is not something to take for granted. I've taken it for granted for some years, and I'm really trying to take advantage of it more these days.
Talk to me about where these places are and what kind of activities can we do when we get there.
Yeah, so there's a lot of options. And I think that the first question that you have to sort of answer for yourself is, what do I want to do outside? Do I want to go for a hike? Do I want to try my hand at snowshoeing or just take a gentle scenic walk? And thankfully, for all three of these options, you do not need a car to experience them. One place where you can do pretty much all three of these activities is the Middlesex Fells Reservation, which is just north of Boston, right around Medford, Winchester, and Woburn. The fells are actually split in half by I-93, and on both sides you have these immense woodlands with a wild variety of tree species, massive ponds that are essentially reservoirs for the towns nearby, and some surprisingly craggy trails that involve hand and feet scrambling up boulders. You won't want to do this when it's icy and snowy outside, but for those temperate days of winter, the trails in the fells can offer a really interesting myriad of outdoor experiences for all levels, really. You can go for a very short walk near the Oak Grove Tea Station to find one of the only cascades in the Boston area. It's actually a 40-foot tall waterfall that has some seasonality to it, but when it's been raining, it's a real rip-roaring gusher. Then on the longer side, there's an 8-mile trail across the fells from the Oak Grove area all the way to Medford that you can take. It's called the Cross Fells Trail. It's blazed in blue. It involves some pretty significant summiting of big stony hills, but also lots of cool wooden bridges, creeks, wetlands. You know, it's very Tolkien-esque in some ways, and it's one of my favorite paths in the Boston area.
Okay, so that's the fells. What else do you have for us?
One place that I really love going to often that's accessible directly via the commuter rail is the Codman Estate, which is located in Lincoln. And, you know, the centerpiece of this estate is an old English manor that was built sometime during the 1700s, I believe, owned by multiple generations of family. But the woods around this manor are just a spiderweb of walking trails. And the cool thing is that you can access them directly from this little shopping plaza right next to the Lincoln commuter rail station. You know, it's less than a 5-minute walk from where you disembark from the train, and suddenly you're in these fields and corridors of trees. And depending on how long you want to keep going along these trails, you can actually use them to connect to Walden Pond and even Mount Misery. You know, these trails are part of a larger network of public paths in the Concord Woods. On the right winter day, they can make for a really lovely destination for a hike or snowshoe.
Okay, so that's a good suggestion if we want to go out of the city. What if we want to stay in Boston?
So Boston is really lucky in the sense that we have a lot of parks and green spaces here that are quite immersive to the point where you almost forget that you're in a city. And one of my absolute favorites, literally the thing that prompted me to move to Jamaica Plain, where I live now, is Arnold Arboretum. We're talking about a tree nursery on an epic scale. You have rolling steep hills, waterways that are just chuckling and beautiful in the summer and all frozen up in the winter.
I love the idea of chuckling waterways.
Yeah, one of my favorite metaphors. I'm stealing it from Bill Bryson's A Walk in the Woods. But in any event, you know, Arnold Arboretum is a place where you can do it all. You know, short scenic walks, you know, through these corridors of enormous trees. You can climb the hills and sled down them in the winter if you want. You have also multiple points of access to the Arboretum. Forest Hills Station on the Orange Line is linked right up to it. You can also get in through the northern entrance, which is super close to Center Street in Jamaica Plain, and the southern gateway in Roslindale, right really close to Roslindale Village Center, takes you right to the top of Peter's Hill, which is the highest point in the Arboretum and the place where you're going to get a truly banger vista of Boston.
Okay. Now, how about another one? You got one more for us?
Oh, yeah. So closer to the South Shore, there's a place called World's End, which is one of my favorite coastal destinations in all of New England. It's kind of accessible by public transportation. You can get close to it with the commuter rail, but there is about a mile walk on residential streets to get to the entrance. But World's End, imagine a bunch of tuft-like hills, almost like green gumdrops, speckled with little trees here and there, right by the ocean, with a primo view of Boston and all these wandering carriage paths winding through there. That's what World's End looks like. And it was designed by Frederick Law Olmsted, the visionary landscape architect behind Boston's Emerald Necklace and Central and Prospect Parks in New York. And it's just one of the most dreamlike places I've taken a walk in Boston. And in the winter, you know, it can really make for an especially gorgeous beach hike, and certainly climbing the hills, if we get one of those strangely warm and balmy winter days, can be a great place for a bundled up picnic too.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more from Miles Howard.
Politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Okay, so you got some pretty good suggestions. I'm wondering, what should people do in terms of safety and preparation? You know, I'm thinking equipment, letting people know where you're going, and how can people prepare themselves to make sure that they're safe and ready for this?
Yeah, so in winter, you're going to be exposed to colder, wetter elements for longer. And so warmth is a really big concern right here. And one way that you can ensure that you're going to be relatively warm outside in winter is by using the three layering system when dressing. Mm-hmm. That consists of having a warm base layer, something like Under Armour to keep that heat inside, a layer of insulation on top of that, something like a fleece, and on the exterior, a windproof layer, such as a parka or a heavy shell. And of course, a hat, because your head is where you lose a lot of body heat if it's not insulated in the winter. If there's going to be any ice where you're going, you might consider bringing a pair of strap-on traction devices for your boots, like Yak Tracks or Micro Spikes. And when it comes to selecting a place to go walking or hiking or snowshoeing in the winter, you know, looking for places that are well established, where there's a solid precedent of hiking and well-marked trails, is going to be really crucial here, because it's good to be in a space where there's a high likelihood of other people being around. Because if you do get into trouble, you're going to want help. But a final thing that you can do for yourself to avoid a 127 hours situation is to let somebody know where you're going and check in with them when you're back from your adventure. Because if people are completely in the dark about your whereabouts, and you do get into a snag and it's getting cold and dark and no one knows where you are, that could really become a big problem.
I wonder, is there a resource for, say, people of color who might want to go and hike in some of these areas?
There are groups, certainly, that are, you know, basically filling this need right now, and many times organizing hikes to areas around cities like Greater Boston that, you know, are specifically addressed at communities of color. And probably the biggest one at this point is the organization Outdoor Afro, which, you know, started several years back and essentially has been all about cultivating hiking communities within communities that have, you know, historically been marginalized from the scene of hiking when it comes down to it. And Outdoor Afro does have a chapter here in Boston. And, you know, I think that's a really interesting avenue to look at when it comes to getting this particular kind of intel for, you know, gauging the atmosphere of what a certain woodland destination might look like, and possibly even joining up with a group that may be planning an expedition to some of these places.
That's really good to know. That's an excellent resource, it sounds like. I'm very curious now, you know, after sharing all of that, what are you looking forward to getting into in the coming months?
Yeah, so one thing that I'm really excited about doing more of this winter is urban hiking, actually. The emerging trend of people designing trails and really hiking routes within cities that make use of not just parks, but also urban infrastructure, like staircases, highway overpasses. You know, it's essentially kind of showcasing the full ecosphere of a city, both the greenery and the concrete, too. And one thing that I'm really looking forward to doing in the next few weeks is a through hike of the entire Boston Harbor Walk. You know, a lot of us have seen signs for the Harbor Walk when we visit places like the Seaport or Southie, but one thing that I didn't realize until recently is that the whole thing is almost 40 miles in length, because it runs from Logan Airport all the way around Eastie and Chelsea and Charleston down through Dorchester Bay, ending up in the Neponset River area. You know, looking at the map recently, I decided I was going to split it into two sections and try to hike the whole thing in 2 days. And, you know, for those of us who love the exposure and the thrill of hiking outside, but also enjoy the cosmopolitan delights of a city, it's a great way to experience both of these things in equal measure.
Oh, man, that sounds really cool. And you never think of it, you know, you think of hiking and outdoor activities, you think in the woods, but yeah, you can have an adventure right in the city. Miles, this has been fantastic and super enlightening. Thank you so much for stopping by. We really appreciate it.
Daryl, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. And I hope that you get out there and get happily lost and enjoy what Greater Boston has to offer this winter.
Oh, you better believe it. You better believe it. Thanks again. That's writer Miles Howard. And you can check out his newsletter, Mind the Moss, on Substack. And that's it for today. The Common is produced by Caitlin Harrop and Franny Monahan, and mixed by Emily Jankowski, Paul Vikas, and Matt Reed. Our editor is Ben Brock Johnson. And from the newsroom of WBUR, I'm your host, Daryl C. Murphy. Thanks so much for listening. I'll talk to you later. I'm gonna be corny as hell right now. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more about hiking miles of I can't even do it straight face. I'm sorry. I can't help myself.